Hello, listener. You've tuned in to another Say Point session. I'm your host, Dan.
What does the A button do again, Sonny?
Okay, Grandpa, I told you, it depends on the context. So if you're, like, by yourself, the A button jumps. But if you're near an object, the A button will pick up. But if you're near a person, the A button talks. And if you're near, like, a weapon, that's when you actually swing that weapon. And, it's pretty simple, Grandpa.
I'm hitting the B button, but I don't see any B.
Oh, B button, B button closes the menu. It's all it's done.
Oh. Well.
It'll make sense in context, everybody.
Yes, it will. So this week, this idea just came into my head. The idea of games for people completely new to gaming. As in, like, they've never touched a video game in their life. They suddenly just lucked into a PS5 or got a new PC for work. And you know what? I kind of want to hit on that point, though, because I noticed you can't really buy a PC for work nowadays.
Yeah. Like, I remember back in the day when, like, you had a very big separation between computer, like a stock computer specifically for office work, and that was mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. your gaming PCs, which were like, you know, you could walk into like an Office Max or an Office Depot or whatever and be like, no, I just need a business PC. It's fine.
Well, your business PC is going to have like some decent gaming rigs, because even like your most like common programs, like, say you need the Adobe suite, you need a decent graphics card to run that shit now.
You really do. Like, the advent of technology in the span of, like, we could have an entire episode on the advent of gaming technology in the past, like, 20-something years.
But... Ooh, save that for our future topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, naturally, you know, you get a new PC, and, you know, you always have that one person goes, like, you know, I've never been into gaming, but... You know, I kind of want to start this hobby, so where should I start? And that's going to be a topic of this episode. We are going to go back and forth and talk about games that we both think are great for first-time gamers.
Yeah, and you'd think nowadays, right, that this kind of topic wouldn't really be, like, super relevant. Like, oh, what do you mean? We're in 2022. Like, everybody games. Everybody games. No, here's the thing. You're either A, you know, an adult that... Or recently, you know, a recent adult who now has their own freedom and their ability to get into gaming, like, proper. Or mm-hmm. you could be somebody who's younger, who's finally cognizant enough to start getting into the gaming franchise. And honestly, yeah. either way, nobody's born a gamer. You're not mm-hmm. born, you know, Xbox controller in hand, backwards cap, gamer score 6,000.
Welcome to my Twitch stream.
Yeah. You gotta start
sponsored by FaZe Clan. Sorry,
that could just coming out of the hospital, born straight into FaZe Clan. Jesus,
just you're in the maternity ward and you just got your tub of G Fuel in your hand already.
Your first words
baby formula, you got G Fuel.
Your first words were like, comment and subscribe.
Oh, okay. We need to get back on topic. Okay. So I was actually thinking kind of hard on this one, and I think for me, the mindset I'm going to go with this is, like, I'm not going to focus on genre per se. I'm kind of going to look at it through, like, the type of person.
Okay. I got
yeah.
you.
Yeah, so the first game that comes to mind is, I'm talking about the person that really just wants, like, a good story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I've thought about these ones. There's plenty of examples here. One that came to mind was Horizon Zero Dawn.
That one's a really, really good one, and I like that example, because, like, here's the thing. Sorry to talk on Horizon Zero
yeah,
Dawn.
Yeah, no,
really
go for
quick.
It. Go for it. Go for it.
I know that, like, that was part of Horizon Zero Dawn and Elden Ring released really close to each other, right? And
well, Horizon Zero West and Elden Ring.
Yeah, Horizon Zero West. But, like, the whole Horizon franchise and Elden Ring was compared extensively during their initial releases, and everybody was pretty much always, almost all everyone was giving it to Elden Ring because of how open world and free form it was and how quote unquote non handholdy the game was compared to a lot of the more modern open worlds where you have a HUD and you have the navigation system and everything, which, you know, as somebody who's now grown up in that gaming franchise and has become accustomed to it, yes, I completely agree. But for somebody who is brand new to gaming and needs that assistance, needs that little bit of extra, you know, some might say hand-holding to get their bearings, Horizon, the whole Horizon franchise does a wonderful job at it.
Yeah, the reason why I chose the example is because, one, you know, it has that story, that epic, like, sci-fi story that is, like, right for, like, an HBO Max adaptation, first of all. It has that feel to it. Mm-hmm. But
Game of Thrones-y.
Yeah, well, sci-fi not, Game of Thrones-y, I guess.
Sci-fi Game of Thrones-y, but, like, it's got that kind of, like, aesthetic to it.
Mm-hmm. Based on my own experience, like, I don't say this casually, because I know that Horizon Zero Dawn, it does have some like upper level gaming mechanics. You know, there is like a big emphasis on resource management and adaptability. But here's the great thing about that game: there is a mode that you can turn on any time called Story Mode. I remember the story of this like a secondhand story of this guy who, like, he was stuck on a boss because he was low on resources, and if he wanted to like go back and to a save to kind of restock on resources, he would have had to wait hours.
Mm.
Go back hours. So instead, he just turned on casual, no, like story mode, and it was a save with a mash the A button or the X button, and bam, boss defeated. This took him like, this is after like a whole couple of days of worth of like banging his head against the wall.
Nice. And honestly, like sometimes you need a mode like that. Like, there are some people that, you know, especially, again, if you're a beginner to games and you just want to experience the story, you know, like a good interactive story would be for video games, like, sometimes you don't want to worry about the mechanics, or sometimes you've kind of, like, spread yourself too thin, and in order to catch yourself back up, it's going to take literal hours of grinding because you didn't happen to, like, pick up stuff on the way or whatever, and, you know, it can really ruin the experience for a lot of people. So even just having specifically a mode that you can change on and off for, like, oh, I messed up here, but after this boss, maybe I can grind back on my own time and I'll be okay. You know?
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Or you just want to have that on because all you care about is just the story, then by all means, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great about that game is that game just came out to PC. So if you got that brand new PC feel, bam, you can get it there.
For sure.
All right, man. What about you?
So, since we're talking about games and the story, like, you're talking about a game that has a more, I feel like, kind of a Western feel for story. For me, I have to go with an Eastern feel for the story, because I had a couple of relatives who grew up watching a lot of, like, either, like, K-dramas or, like, the, you know, the old, like, Kurosawa films.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Yakuza 0, man. Like, honestly, that the fact that the story of Yakuza 0 is a prequel to just what was originally
the saga.
Yeah, the saga of Kazuma Kiryu. Yakuza 0 in and of itself, you could package that up as a standalone story, and it wraps itself perfectly. It is an amazing just homage to old Japanese like gangster films, old like Kurosawa style, like, not like samurai flicks, but like that kind of like grittiness, you know. I still remember talking, or I still remember thinking as I was watching these, you know, these different cutscenes going on, I thought two things. One, man, there's a lot of cutscenes. And two, God, this feels just like I'm like watching a Japanese gangster movie. Like, this hits so good. Like, the voice acting, the action, the sound effects, the music design, like, all of it's so good. And then you're telling me on top of that, I get to be, you know, this Japanese gangster and run around and do what I want, walk around 1980s. It's really cool. And on the accessibility standpoint, there is that easy mode that you can play on for people that are like first time action gamers, where it's a lot easier. You can if you die in a battle, you can like get back up and start. Like if you die in a boss battle, you can just continue on, try it again, you know, and not have to worry as much.
And Yakuza itself is relatively like a simple game to pick up. It's just it's a beat 'em up for the most part. It's
pretty
like
much
you can master a basic square combo, you can almost get through the entire game.
Yeah, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's generally just two buttons. You got square and you got triangle.
Oh, I find it funny that you mentioned how much of a like awesome like Japanese gangster movie this is. Well, at the same time, you have moments where, you know, you have to help this dude find phone cards so he can jack off time.
Look, that's the subquest. If you want to go that route, we have.
If you want to explore subquest land.
I think that's the other thing too, is like it's a sandbox without being like just tossing you in and, you know, letting you do what you want, like not giving you a direction. You know, it doesn't just plop you in and be like, all right, good luck, bye. If you want to just do your main objectives, you have your main objectives. If you want to do some side quests, you know you're going to come across some side quests while you're doing the main story. And everything's, you know, kept track of, and it's just really solid. And I mean, let's face it, I had to put Yakuza somewhere on here, and you just happened to start with story games, and yeah, no, the story of Yakuza absolutely hits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for my next game, I was thinking about the person who is new to gaming because they happened to catch something that they saw on TV, on Netflix, something like that. Let's talk about the person who just got like started watching Arcane and is like, "Oh, I want to know more about this League of Legends kind of stuff." Well, first of all, I would not recommend playing League of Legends if you're
step one. No, don't. We're done. End podcast. We're out. I'm out. I'm not going back in there again.
No, I trust me, I feel you. I'm not saying that. I would never say that for a first-time gamer. Yeah, go try that League of Legends game. I'm sure you'll do fine. No. That's just, that was funny, kind of funny, like for people who like are introduced to gaming via another media. It's just like, no, do not do that.
No, but knock on my friends who play League. I just, no, thank you.
It is not beginner friendly at all. And that's not just because of the game itself. I'm talking about the fucking community.
I mean, yeah, that's a whole other story. But anyway, what you got? What you got for me?
But I wanted to, like, you know, kind of explore the mind of someone who's new to gaming but wants to try that whole using the mouse clicking strategy thing. And the game that came to mind is probably one that wouldn't be surprised coming from me, and that's XCOM 2.
Oh, really? You're throwing a beginner into XCOM?
I know. Okay, I'm going to try to justify this. All right, so XCOM, like most other games, it has difficulty levels, so you can dumb it down to like, you can like set it up to like the most like basic levels of like introduction to gaming. It teaches them basic principles of like resource management, strategy, thinking ahead. And at the same time, like it teaches them the value of like, okay, so this is how permadeath works. You got to make sure you think about each and every one of your moves before you go, or else you're going to lose a valuable soldier.
I mean, fair.
It's basically fair. If you don't want to deal with the weebiness of Fire Emblem, you can do XCOM, okay? It's that or Fire Emblem.
I mean, you kind of took the words out of my mouth, because I was actually going to recommend Fire Emblem, specifically either Awakening.
You know what? Let's hop on to that then.
I was going to say either Awakening or more recently Three Houses, is because Three Houses is on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like Three Houses. I think personally I like Awakening a little bit more, just because that was my first major Fire Emblem experience, and that was just, it hits real good. But
I don't want to force someone to try to stick up a 3DS. So
yeah, exactly. You know, we're trying to keep it to more recent, you know, more recent titles, like literally
easily accessible in terms of the platform.
New gamers in 2022. But with Fire Emblem Three Houses, I really like it because, unlike Fates, and I can talk about Fates a lot. Unlike Fates, you didn't have to fucking Pokemon the system and have two different games with two different storylines, or buy the special one that had all three of them.
Which I did.
Oh, so did I. Don't worry. I regret it, too. It's okay. You're in company.
I didn't regret it.
I absolutely regret it. It's okay. It's okay. I'm here.
I got to be that asshole that showed it off.
Oh, my God. I actually, this is not a lot of games. We can do another episode on games we regret buying. That's definitely one of them.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Writing that down. Okay, go ahead.
But yes, Three Houses. I like it because it is one single game, and you can choose your path. You choose, you know, what house you feel like you like the characters of, or you like the design of, or even like, oh, I like this color, or oh, I like this one particular person. They look really neat. It's really nice there. And with since it's one of the more modern Fire Emblem games, it's very accessible in the aspect of you can either do that classic permadeath mode, or if you're somebody new to tactical games or somebody who's just not really, you know, new to gaming in general, you can do the casual mode where if somebody falls, they don't die. They just leave the battle for the rest of the battle. And that's it. You know, so you don't have to stress and worry about, oh gosh, this character is going to fall behind, or this character, if I do this character, I put so much work in and this person got critted and now he died or whatever. You don't have to worry about that. And with it also, like XCOM, has that management system of you have the school time when you're managing, you're teaching your characters, you're recruiting people for your team. You're participating in, like, you know, contests or events for that particular month or that particular week. There's a lot of management in that aspect, but again, they roll it out really slowly on what you can do to help get you used to the life of being, you know, a teacher at Garrick Mach and stuff. And then what I think I really like is, you know, not to get too spoilery, even though the game's out like halfway through, you really start to get a sense of the fact that your choices really do have consequences. And you get to feel this kind of emotional impact of, hey, you did the best you could with the time that you had, and now it is time to buckle down and, like, it's time for war. It's Fire Emblem time. And depending on, you know, what house you choose actually legitimately changes the story that you have. There are three completely separate stories, not counting the DLC. And it's such a robust game, and it's like that right amount of difficult but also accessible if you don't want to make it super difficult. It's just really nice. And Annette's my bae. I love her. She's great. This definitely wasn't like a 5-minute long shill just to say that Annette is the best Fire Emblem Three Houses waifu. Fucking fight me.
All right. I have no skin in this game, so I'm not even going to throw a name out there right now because I can't even remember. I played Three Houses a long-ass time ago. So.
Just throw out a random. I like Marth. He's in, like, every Fire Emblem, right?
Lucina, there you go, sure. Yeah. She was in Three Houses, right?
Yeah, close enough.
Okay. So this next game I want to mention here is for that gamer who really wants to get that gaming experience and that classic video game experience, too. So I am going to go to a tried and true franchise. It shouldn't be surprised that I mentioned this series for first-time gamers. And I'm going to talk about Mario Brothers.
Please.
Now, the question was...
Is it Odyssey?
No, the question, like, no, here's the question now. Like, where do I recommend somebody who's new to gaming to start? This was actually a harder question than I thought.
Really?
And, well, because, you know... Because Mario goes such a wide variety of games, you have the 3D, you have the 2D. So I managed to settle onto one, and I think it's the best one to teach a new gamer, like the concept of like platforming, timing, jumping, hand, you know, just like reacting. And I'm gonna go with New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe on the Switch.
The one with Bowser's Fury?
No, that's the 3D. That's the 3D one.
Oh, right.
I'm talking about the one that's the port of the Wii U game.
Ah, gotcha. The one that's strictly 2D.
Yeah, the one that's strictly 2D.
Yeah, gotcha.
I think this is like one, it's like, it's the one that really solidified 2D Mario. I think its controls practically perfectly. You have the wide variety of levels, the level design. Everything is very intuitive that I think anyone who's even like has never even held a controller, I think they can pick it up, press a few buttons, and by then they'll find a way to get to the end of the game without like breaking the controller or throwing it at their screen.
Mm. And like, you know, even like just the original Super Mario Brothers way back when, you know, the levels are designed in a very similar fashion where like, you know, the first couple of worlds really help you get used to it. And then like world 7, world 8 are very decent challenges. They're good challenges. But by then, you've built up that experience of like what you can kind of expect from other levels and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that being said, though, like I said, Super Mario Brothers U, but I do feel like you can pick just about any mainline Mario game, and I think anybody new to gaming can pick it up and have a good time right away.
I mean, like I said, I personally, it's funny because I had Super Mario Odyssey in the back of my mind, ready to toss that out there, and you're just,
that's a good one too.
I swear to God, this isn't like, we didn't time this. We didn't like say here are the games that we're gonna do.
Oh, like, no, we did not discuss what we were picking.
It's literally just like we're doing this off the fly and the categories just happen to match up really, really well. But yeah, no, I loved Odyssey because for me, one of my first ever Mario games, like I remember playing Super Mario Bros. 3 a lot as a kid, but I never really understood that that was like a Mario game. I just kind of mashed buttons and I think I might have beaten it once, or I may not have beaten it until like I was much older. But I remember one of the first Mario games that I actively, you know, worked towards, like consciously, was Super Mario 64. And I loved that feeling of like the different hub worlds, and there were secret stars that you could find. And then, you know, there's the whole like, if you get to the top of the canyon with all the stars, you get to Yoshi surprise. It would be, you know, playground secrets and stuff like that. Stuff that's, you know, the stuff that's really hidden in the game. And Odyssey absolutely scratched that itch for me. Like Odyssey was the experience that I wanted, was 64, but revamped for a brand new era. And it was really, really cool. Yes, it has to deal with the extra dimension of, you know, the 3D space. So there is a little bit more difficulty in terms of like platforming and whatnot, but and like there's the whole Cappy mechanic, which does also add a little bit of extra you know, uniqueness, a unique mechanic to the game. But as you said, like pretty much every mainline Nintendo game, they designed those kinds of games with, you know, younger or newer players in mind as well. So it's very easily accessible. I don't remember if there's an easier difficulty mode in Odyssey. Like, I want to say there is.
As far as I know. I know there's no actual game overs. If you, like, lose your lives, you just kind of just restart and lose like your coins or something like that.
Yeah, like it's if not easy in terms of like you get more lives or whatever, it's easy in the fact of it's a very forgiving game.
Oh yeah,
and you can try as much as you need, and you don't even have to get everything perfect. You just have to get enough of the moons to go to the next world, and then you can do that, and then you beat this. You know, you'll eventually beat the bosses, and you save the princess, and you're good, and then. And then, you know, Peach rejects Mario and Bowser, and next thing you know, you got Bowsette, and that's what.
I was wondering if you were gonna bring up Bowsette in this.
Absolutely, but no, part of me still wants to go back and like 100% Super Mario Odyssey. There's just been many
it's
games
worth it.
Between them. Is it really?
Oh yeah, I did. Like that was like. That was I knew I was gonna do that like as soon as I first played the game. I'm gonna perfect this game.
Yeah.
And maybe perfected that game.
Maybe we'll get an Odyssey 2. Or just another one like that. Like that, those have always been my favorites. I've honestly, personally, never really paid much attention to like the new Super Mario 2D games or whatever. It's always been the 3D for me. I've loved Sunshine, I've loved 64, I love Odyssey. And I'm already ready for the new one.
Okay, so the last kind of person I kind of want to put a focus on here, and this is kind of fitting because Evo was like a month ago, I want to talk about what is the best game for someone who who's new to gaming and wants to learn the world of fighting games. And this one, I actually get kind of racked my brain a little bit.
Oh man, this one's tough. It's fun because as somebody who is new to fighting games, like I'm thinking if the game that got like that I'm really into right now, is that really what I would consider a game that's good for
If you're gonna say like Strive, I would not say that.
I honestly don't think so. Like there's
I don't think any Guilty Gear is beginner friendly.
It's very like it is Strive the most beginner friendly out of all the Guilty Gears?
Yes.
I absolutely think so. Is it beginner friendly for fighting games? Absolutely not. There's so many mechanics in that game.
No. It was surprisingly hard to think about what is good for someone new to the game because I thought about stuff like Marvel vs. Capcom, definitely not, especially if you're going to play it online. Mm-hmm. Smash Bros, like that's not a fighting game, so I'm going to throw that out there right now.
All right, okay, you know what, fair. I literally just had a couple of hot takes myself, so you know, valid, you get a couple too.
Hey, the fact that you care about my well-being and consent means you're better than most Smash players.
My God. Oh my God.
Come at me.
Oh,
you guys know what you did.
The line's been drawn. Fuck. Okay.
So, I thought like Street Fighter is close there, but then I had to think about like which one, and definitely not Third Strike.
Definitely not Third Strike.
Four is maybe up there because it's how a lot of people got back into fighting games. Mm-hmm. So I would give that an honorable mention, but this is going to go against everything I'm like, my own personal taste, but I think the best way for someone to learn the basics of fighting games, I think they got to go with another realm game. I think they got to go with either Mortal Kombat.
Really?
Yeah. And here's my logic with this one is that Mortal Kombat, you know, it is a standard fighting game. You have the health bar, you have two fighters, one-on-one, but you don't, unlike Street Fighter, there's no like elaborate motions for special moves.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively easy to combo. There is a dedicated block button for a lot of gamers. That's like that is key because you know they sometimes have the hard time of like putting that mindset of like holding back the block.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well supported. It's got a good online background. It's a notable game. I think to really like learn get around the basics of fighting games, I think Mortal Kombat is a good place to start.
Fair.
Do you have one that's from this idea alone, like you would recommend?
So this is literally coming from like 30 seconds of thinking, but if I had to place one, I guess it really would have to be the game that officially got me interested in fighting games. And it's not Strive, obviously, because we've talked about that. Granblue Fantasy Versus.
Okay, it's interesting. Those meters, and I'm really worrying your mindset here.
There is a lot of meters. There is a lot of meters, and it is a hold back to block game. It is an arc assist game, so there are like some unique mechanics. But I'll be honest, like when I booted up Granblue Fantasy Versus, like the only thing I knew really about fighting games usually is like there's going to be moves that combo into other moves, and you hold back to block, and there's gonna be a super in there somewhere and you'll do it with a thing. That's pretty much what was my extensive knowledge, because I'm a big masher, but I've always wanted to be in that scene. I wanted to like learn, I wanted to like even just have like basic combos, you know. I want to be able to go to an arcade or something and be like, yo, let's run some sets, or like have some friends be like, yo, let's do some labs or whatever. And Granblue Fantasy Versus just happened to pop up at the time, and so I gave it a shot. And I still to this day, I absolutely love it, because there are a lot of like character specific meters. But when it comes to like specials, at least in the beginning, because I will say like nowadays, I don't know if there's like been a system overhaul or anything. But when I got into it, your special meter was literally, it was either 100% or it was nothing. And it was specifically only for meter. And that was it. You had your special bar, and that was for your special, and there was no partial or anything. You either had your special or you didn't. The health bar, pretty simple. You had your health and it went down. I don't think it actually recovered. So it was like you lost, you got hit, you're done. That's it with that health. The one unique mechanic were your cooldown abilities, which were essentially your special moves, you know, your quarter circle forward, your quarter circle back, your Shoryuken, and stuff like that. And you could perform those with, you know, whatever move was associated with that particular special. And you would get a, you know, you would use your special and then it would cool down. And once it's ready again, you'd be able to use it again. But there was also a dedicated special button where you could literally do a neutral special or a side special or like a down special, and it would perform the exact same ability. The only difference being that the cooldown was like a little bit longer. But if you're getting just getting into fighting games and you don't want to have to deal with, okay, I have to do this and then I have to do this quarter circle back, and then I got to hit medium twice, you can just be like, okay, I'm going to hit back special and then I'm going to mash this medium, and it like, oh, look at combos, and that's it. And I'm good. Like it's really accessible. And I remember having to use those specials when I first started. And then I started to be like, well, what if I tossed in the quarter circle back instead of this special? Oh, look, I got it. I finally got it working. And now I can combo this way. And like, you just kind of add to it there. So I like in terms of like the mechanics were fun. Like the only thing that I have to knock against it, and it's still the biggest thing that I will knock against Grand Blue Fantasy Versus. Like, I swear to God, if we ever got rollback in Grand Blue Fantasy Versus, I would start playing Grand Blue Fantasy Versus again. I legitimately love that game so much. But after playing the Strive rollback, I've tried going back to the delay-based netcode of Grand Blue, and it is night and day. Oh my God. That being said, you know, if you have a local friend and you maybe you're both new to fighting games and you want to kind of watch some very pretty anime boys and anime girls do their like little special sword thingy-ma-bobbers, and you just mash buttons and have a fun time, I still to this day will recommend Grand Blue Fantasy Versus.
Yeah, you know what? That I joke, but I do think that's a relatively good game to like learn on. So
All right, it is still an Arxis game though, so like the high level the high level gameplay,
you will know that the skill gap the moment you start playing online. And I'm not just talking about the delay based netcode.
I mean to be fair though, what fighting game isn't going to have that kind of skill gap? And I guess that's what makes this last category really difficult, because when you say like new to fighting games, like you and I are already, as fighting game fans, you and I are thinking like kind of with like that Evo mindset a little bit of like, how do you get a beginner into this and like just toss them into the fire?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, here we go. Here we go. Your very first practice round, first of three against Sonic Fox. Good luck.
Oh, fuck you. I'm not reliving that trauma, dude.
Oh, man.
That's why I didn't say Skullgirls, motherfucker.
You're right.
All right. Well, if you're new to gaming or you kind of want to get an idea of like what kind of games to introduce people, hit us up with the questions. Like, the more specific we are, like you are, the more we can like give a good answer. But, you know, you can do this by hitting us up on the official network socials at NGP Productions on just about everything, or you can hit us up individually. Antonio?
You can find me streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/AKLTrifecta. You can also find me on Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok, also AKLTrifecta.
And you can find me on Twitch, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, at DanyoungSenpai. Just about anything. You can find my hot takes on gaming. You can find my dumb videos. And I'll be back to streaming very soon. I'm kind of solidifying a return date, and I'm looking forward to coming back. But until then, guys, this has been another Save Point session. And until next episode, guys, see ya.